Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, America. You're listening to Radio Cantankerous, rather. I am Dakota Lone Star, your host. I'm going to go ahead and jump right into this evening's subject matter. It'll appear somewhat frayed, but in fact, everything is interrelated in terms of the program this evening. I can promise you that or assure you of that. All right, so I'm going to go ahead and jump in. Let me go ahead and pass out the call-in line. Guest call-in number is 929-477-4090. I'll be ready for your calls in just a few minutes. I will get to you if you call in, depending on the influx of calls and how large that influx is. But I'd be happy to make an attempt to get to everyone's calls this evening. All right, now I'm dealing with the backside of a sinus infection, a pharyngeal kind of thing going on, and also that went into bronchitis. So I'm dealing with the backside of that. So my voice isn't quite where I'd like it to be. However, having said that, this program to me is one of utmost importance. And so let's excuse me. Let's go ahead and take a gander, shall we? A collective look into this mismanagement of the Bill of Rights, if you will. So, particularly over the course of the last, certainly since 2009, early in 2009, and even before that, when the creator of Piss Christ was awarded $20,000 by the National Endowment for the Arts, a liberal think tank, governmental, I believe, even in one sense. I'm gonna research that a little bit later, and we can touch on that later as well. But I'm gonna go ahead and begin with my opening salvo, and then I will open up the phone lines, and I hope to take some calls this evening. And so give me a call. You can also dial in or create a contact on your cell phone with that call-in number and use that to listen to me, hopefully on at least a biweekly basis going forward. And you're listening to Radio Cantankerous. You have Dakota Lone Star here. All right, here we go. Buckle in, because this is going to get pretty interesting. This particular administration, the 44th presidential administration of the loosely United States of America, via fiat, has for all intensive purposes created law around the idea that Christians must serve Jesus as defined by the modern family, of which they are in charge, no doubt, which is interesting. The inner onion, our inner onion, the commander-in-chief of the United States of America, uses bloodhounds like Lois Lerner, Hillary Clinton, Susan Rice, trumped-up judgments by hack judges, and subsequently, even purposefully, I believe, consuming the time and resources of truly conservative business owners and genius creative types like Dinesh D'Souza. You got that? Do you get it? That is something that I will be referring to now and in the future as individual subjugation, individual slavery, if you will, in the name of freedom, quote-unquote freedom, all right? So basically, neither law nor legislation is required to partake of the devil's bidding. And one day, reserving judgment unto whom judgment is due, it won't be the devil to pay. Everything I believe, God forbid, in America as an individual will be the Lord's and within the Lord Jesus Christ and within his charge. All right. And that's my individual belief. You don't have to believe that. You're certainly welcome in America as long as we can peaceably coexist, if you will. I welcome more seats at the table. I think that's a good thing. I think that that's perhaps even in hindsight, what our founding fathers, for lack of a better term, envisioned, if you will, was a true roundtable. And so I'm going to go ahead and repeat that. Neither law nor legislation today in 2015, actually beginning in around 2012, is required to partake of the devil's bidding, and it's just not. They can govern by fiat, and it's all a ruse in terms of there being poor minorities, so to speak, and you've been played. You have been played. And I look forward, Lord Jesus willing, God forbid I just said that over the air, I look forward to more American minorities waking up to the fact one morning that our system has been devoured by, you know, our safety net, if you will, has been clipped at every link, and there's no longer any fish for the American down on his or her luck, regardless of color. And what we're trying to do as conservative Americans is protect exhaustible funds that were meant for all Americans, white, black, Latino, Asian, or otherwise. And they're going to wake up. They're going to find out. You know, this, even Santa only makes his rounds once a year. And it's interesting to me that liberal Democrats actually must believe. But now, here's the thing. Unfortunately, there's this pendulum, collectively speaking, swinging before all Democrats, all liberal Democrats, for that matter. And the thing that has always been true and always will be true is that dictators the world over always do well. You know, they're always going to have the finest wines, the finest meats, the finest vegetarian diet available. They're always going to have the finest seats, the finest automobiles, the finest chauffeurs, the finest cooks. We can see that even within the United Nations, the structure of servanthood that has been betrothed to these world leaders, which are really a joke, if you will. They couldn't even stamp out ganja weed in Darfur. You know, okay, so let's hold some concerts, let's hold some benefit concerts. Groups like Janja Weed, unfortunately, the only thing that a group like that understands is a handful of A-10 strafing runs, which differs from the blanket or carpet bombing that Obama insists that we, as conservatives, are calling for at every turn. So he's wrong. That's a lie. Now, the only thing that sword-wielding, horseback-riding, camel urine shampoo people understand that are willing to kill their fellow countrymen, dismember them, and rape and pillage in Darfur and so on, interestingly enough, that's just savagery. And the only thing that they understand is force. All right, so you've got Muqtada al-Sadr in the first Gulf War and glimpses of him in the second Gulf War. And interestingly enough, you know, Al-Qaeda, ISIS. You know, it's interesting because the young people in America, you know, were surrounding the Capitol once our Navy SEALs took down Osama bin Laden, right? And it was a great victory, don't get me wrong. But there are millions of Osama bin Laden, or at least tens of thousands around the world. Anyway, so we'll get into that in a moment. But All right. So basically, neither not law nor legislation, and I said it twice prior, is required to partake of the devil's bidding and ensure that one, at least one, forbidden tree is exists within their utopian garden of evolutionary human science. All right. So here's what's interesting about that. So go ahead, sir. Mr. Obama, and refer to yourself as a constitutional scholar if you like. That's totally within your right. But the fact remains that you could be wrong. So let's go into that. All right, so we've a Justice Department, and I think I touched on this last in the last program, that is, you know, just they're always packed and ready to go in terms of a Ferguson, Missouri, right? And when was the last time that you saw a Black Lives Matter proponent posting anything on social media along the lines of the pursuit of happiness of a convenience store worker matter should matter? Anyway, so I just went there, yeah. I just burned your philosophy to the ground. Your gentle giant was trying to rough up a convenience store worker minutes ahead of most likely telling an officer to go screw himself. And I talked about this, I think, in the last program, too. I've driven a cab, and thank God I got out of that business early, because people will walk from one corner to an adjacent corner via the road in the hood. That's just how it is. Now, I'm not saying that there aren't gentlemen and gentle ladies within the hood that are noteworthy that will use the crosswalks, but imagine, put yourself in the moccasins of a police officer that his or her beat is within an impoverished precinct, so to speak, and every day being told to go F yourself based on, or go screw yourself, I'm sorry, or any other number of colorful adjectives that are to be had of the modern family today, which is interesting too, because I just came out with a new bumper sticker, and on that sticker it says, yeah, sure, the modern family is offended by the word schlong. And then I've got a guy laughing rather hard, and it says, now that's rich. So anyway, you're free to call yourself, you know, you taught a class or two, you were a junior senator from Illinois, you're a community activist, and a junior senator didn't show up for work, like I heard like 50, 60, upwards of 70% of the time as a junior senator, which is quite interesting. But anyway, you know, and you taught a class, right, on the Constitution. Okay. So on a side yet related note, that dastardly learner worm. So I want to start talking about the bloodhounds that work for the Inner Onion, the ones that use their perks, unprincipled perks, if you will, to apply for those jobs, probably. They probably listed things right at the top, like redacts well. I mean, that's really what a liberal Democrat, the liberal Democratic edifice, if you will, that they've been constructing for quite some time, requires of their peeps. And that's, do you redact well? And that's kind of interesting, too. It's a whole other subject. We can talk about it another day. But anyway, so on a side yet related note, right, it's interesting that that dastardly learner worm, so I'm going to start there, yes, the dastardly learner worm, the one that was able to infect Lois Lerner's hard drive, may be an arsonist as well in light of two sets of otherwise would-be meaningful tax documents that quote-unquote went up in flames. And you would think that the IRS, but they're just following in the footsteps footsteps of our Justice Department, quote unquote. But you would think that the IRS would force the Reverend Al Sharpton to purchase fire insurance, because not once but twice would-be pertinent tax files went up in flames. So we don't know how much money came in, but it really doesn't matter, because after all, Whitey is a deployable scapegoat, right? So, all right. So, interestingly enough, but then they have their fire insurance, namely the Willie Nelsons of the quote-unquote free world, exactly what the Honorable Dr. Martin Luther King envisioned, right? I don't think so. All right. So, and it's not bigotry, right, to seek out conservative individuals, even though there are only handfuls of those left in terms of leadership and business acumen. And, you know, really, because the other businesses that are being led by truly unscrupulous people and governments around the world, right, are, interestingly enough, they are quickly becoming the norm. And that leads me to another point. You know, the Kleins, right? All right, so you have two lesbians that walk into their bakery, Sweet Cakes by Melissa or whatever. I'll go back and research that a little bit more later. But Melissa Klein, or the Kleins, basically didn't want to appear as though they were sanctioning what they considered to be, God forbid, on an individual basis or corporately as a marriage, and as a business, as business owners, something that they considered to be an ungodly union. And here's what's really interesting about that whole thing. A couple things. One, Louder with Crowder, or Crowder, I don't know his first name, if it's Steve or whatever, but interestingly enough, he took some cameras into some Muslim bakeries and asked if, I think there's enough footage out there to take the Kleins court case back to, at the very least, the state Supreme Court level, if not the Supreme Court of the land, of the loosely United States of America. Anyway, so I think there's enough there. Now, if we're going to preferentially, as Barack Obama has done time and time again, ad nauseum at this point, in year eight of his presidency, into year eight now, ad nauseum, he has, interestingly enough, and his Justice Department, they have coddled even the violent among us, violent folk among us. And so it's interesting because, if you create a movie in the United States of America, especially if you're an Egyptian-born Coptic Christian and you're not painting Islam in a positive light, it's the devil to pay, right? So, and that's interesting. Yay, freedom! Yay, freedom, you little Bernie butt-bumping. Anyway, sorry. But, anyway, here's what's interesting. Since 2012, between 2012 and 2015, the first quarter of 2015, three filmmakers have been leaned on in the name of freedom. Don't go see it. If you're not cool with 13 hours, just don't go see it. I don't remember Michael Bay or the producers of 13 Hours holding, I don't see any pictures on, or photos or video footage on any of the programs, popular programs, of people holding guns or swords or stones, in an effort to compel people against their wishes to see the films like 13 Hours or Dinesh D'Souza's documentary or The Innocence of Muslims. For God's sake, we've gotten so far away from individual election. Now, here's another thing that's interesting. You know, when you go back to the Klein's case and how much they were fined, and it was over $100,000, I think, around $130,000. Most of those charges were so trumped up. And it's interesting because anyone that, well, just jumping back quickly, rather quickly, to Nikola Bissell, Nikola, the creator of Innocence of Muslims, any American that would blame savagery on a film, or even the Piss Christ for that matter, or the Last Temptation of Christ, is not American. Just like the individual, regardless of sex, race, national creed, sexual orientation, rather, gender, that blames not being able to go to work on someone not baking them a cake, is just looking for a padded free ride in one sense. So who cares? Here's what I want someone to do. Give me a call if you know about the Klein's case or the Klein case, and let me know if you know any of the other things about how large the town was or community was. Was there another bakery nearby that would have happily obliged to create the cake for the lesbian couple, right? Because in most cities and towns of any remarkable population, statistically speaking, you can't throw a stone and not hit a liberal business owner or someone that's willing, more than willing, to express their belief that Jesus Christ would make a cake if he himself were residing in the United States of America today for a lesbian couple. Because after all, God is love, right? Well, the Bible says that the gospel came by mercy and truth. Yes, mercy first, and thank God it did, because I would have been there would have been no hope for me, eternal hope for me. But I just, some of those trumped up charges, I can't go to work. You know, like I just can't. I can't go to work because I'm just so damaged now that this company. And you know, here's what's really interesting. I saw an interview with Melissa Klein and shortly thereafter, and she was crying. And you know why she was crying? Because she didn't want to hurt the feelings of the lesbian couple, right? Or of individuals, made up of individuals. And she was actually upset and crying. So here's the thing. I will not for the life of me believe that the clients were harsh and said, leave our store, you know, like the Muslims overseas, some of the Muslims overseas, rather, a faction or factions of Islam overseas that are tossing homosexuals off of buildings in the name of Allah, right? So I you know what would be really cool? Even though it's all BS, it would be really cool if Islam took over the United States for like a year and there was some kind of a safe haven for Christians, if you will, or true Christians that believe in the holiness of the Bible and in a contextual form. Context is king. All right, where true scholars are concerned at any rate. But so, oh, yeah, all right. So let's get back and just kind of back on the freeway, if you will. I'm going to, because I kind of merged there, but it's fun to merge sometimes, and it's right to merge sometimes, and it's good to merge, good or right to merge sometimes. So here's the question of this particular decade, if you will, that began in essentially in 2006 when Barack Hussein Obama was addressing the Call to Renewal conference and made fun of both the Old and the New Testament, deriding Judaism and Christianity in one fell swoop. Look it up for yourself on YouTube. Obama makes fun of the Bible, and have at it for yourself, because I don't have time to cover that right now. I have a few other things to say. All right. Should our elected officials be allowed to call on God's word while on duty? Sure, why not? After all, there's plenty of jurisprudence for doing so, particularly since 2008. But that's not the only reason I believe that our elected officials should be able to quote from the Bible if they'd like, because we're a nation of individuals, and our government is comprised of, you guessed it, individuals. Now, in terms of creating a law that favors any one religion over another, even where atheism is concerned, either pro or con, we, you know, that's taking things too far. And I want the atheists out there to know, all of the atheists to know, that we as true Christians would die for your right to not believe in a higher power. So just climb on the ship for a moment, indulge us if you will, who knows, we may end up betrothed to one another in one sense, in a very narrow scope, of course, but we love you enough, we are Christian enough, and Ayn Rand said it super well. I mean, we're talking about a brilliant woman, and yes, I am that much of a male chauvinist pig that I'm going to go the road of Ayn Rand quickly here and read one of her quotes for my audience. All right, that was a minor coffee belch there. Sorry. All right, that was a little bit stronger, but the smallest minority on earth is the individual. Those who deny individual rights cannot claim to be defenders of minorities. She and the late, great, honorable Dr. Martin Luther King Jr., kind of on that same wavelength, just to sound, you know, I don't want to sound New Age-ish, rather. But Ayn Rand and Dr. Martin Luther King probably would have been friends. Ayn Rand is a Russian-born author, American author, and I think that's a wonderful quote. I'm just going to read it again for you. Put it here quick. The smallest minority on earth is the individual, and those who deny individual rights cannot claim to be defenders of minorities. Brilliant. God bless Ayn Rand for that. And, you know, we're looking really at what she spoke to. We're looking at the destruction of any semblance of true decency. You know, if I walked into, let's say I was, most of the bakeries were Muslim bakeries in my neighborhood. They aren't. But if they were, and I walked in and said, oh, I'm holding a Christian wedding for my wife and I, and, you know, I'd like to order my wife-to-be would like a beautiful cake. And we heard that you make the most intricate cakes in town. And we'd like to buy from you. We'd like to put money in your pocket, and we would rather that money, for the most part, stay in your pocket because we're that evil, right, as conservatives. And I suspect that, you know, Muslims that adhere to their holy book wouldn't be down with baking cakes for Jews or Christians. That's my guess, all right? And now in America, you know, there might be some that are. I actually saw a doctor the other day for my sinus infection, bronchitis, and pharyngitis. And thankfully, I'm at the end of a round of Zithromax, thankfully. And the doctor was from Pakistan originally. We didn't get around to conversationally speaking. I wasn't able to speak to or ask him how long he was here, but he was incredibly kind, an amazing doctor, and we had a splendid time. But I don't know. I just think we have enough with Louder with Crowder, to which is kind of a shout out. He doesn't endorse me necessarily, but I do endorse him and his work. We do have enough to take things back to the Supreme Court, and we the people, Christians of all colors, true Christians of all colors, black, white, Asian, and otherwise, I think we need to bring this case against and countersue the state of Idaho, I believe. Anyway, if you can give me a call at 929-477-4090, dial that up, and we can talk about a couple of these things this evening. If not, I will close the program early again today and do a better job of advertising my programs, but it's on the cloud, and that's awesome. All right, so look, I already told you that there's plenty of jurisprudence for doing so, particularly since 2008, and that in light of employing scripture on at least a biannual basis, if not quarterly, on national television, and when do you become fair game? So we're going to get into that next, and just who is fair game in terms of our politicians and the mismatch that's been ongoing since the creator of Piss Christ received a $20,000 grant. All right, so should our elected officials, I already got into that, be allowed to call on God's word while on duty? I say yes. Not just because of the jurisprudence leaning fact, collectively speaking, but interestingly enough, Mitt Romney, a gentle, astute businessman, never once tossed his hat into the ring where either the Book of Mormon or the Bible were concerned. Or are concerned, he didn't do it. So put that in your pipe and smoke on that for a while, those of you that claim to have not voted for him, even though you're a Christian, because of his Mormonism. He didn't run on that. However, Barack Obama, like I said on YouTube, can be found if you YouTube search Obama makes fun of the Bible. You can go ahead and do that and come up with a cool insight into his evolving Christianity, quote-unquote. Now, in light of the aforementioned, then, who is fair game? In terms of grown-up debate resulting from official action as it relates to public speech. In light of the aforementioned, then, who is fair game? Just who is fair game? In terms of grown-up debate resulting from official action as it relates to public speech. Contextually correct Bible scholars will welcome scrutiny at every turn. Contextually correct biblical scholars realize that God's word was not penned by them and is, in fact, holy land, if you will. We treat it like holy land because we realize that it's God-breathed, and without context, you're not a biblical scholar worth your weight in salt. All right, look. So I remember seeing a televised interview in 2008 that included both Barack Obama and Alan Keyes. Now, Alan Keyes, if you remember, is a African-American gentleman, a Catholic African-American gentleman that ran for president not once but twice prior to Barack Hussein Obama's 2008 successful venture. That cannot come quickly enough in terms of the end of a miserable legacy. All right. Seeing that he, you know, come on. I wasn't born yesterday, perhaps the day after, but I wasn't born yesterday. Do you really believe that that the narrative that Susan Rice and Hillary Clinton ran with was they were the brainchild collectively of the narrative that savagery was actually caused by a film? Do you believe that our beloved emancipator where freedom is concerned had nothing to do with the narrative. If you do, please go get yourself, go get your tubes tied, work toward tubal litigation, or and get yourself snipped if you're a male. Anyway. All right. Now, look, in that interview, or basically what I'm saying here is that, or getting back to the story, Barack Hussein Obama was the one that brought up religion in the interview, and Mr. Keyes made him look like an eighth grader with a very public bladder control program. An elected official at any level becomes fair game once he or she has voluntarily inserted him or herself into the ring of God's word. If you cannot stand the heat in the kitchen, stay out of the kitchen, or otherwise feel free to be decimated by those that are driven by admiration and context when it comes to holy texture. All right. So I guess what I'm saying is feel free to chime in, even as President of the United States, and even as he's done on a quarterly basis on public television or international television at this rate, using scripture out of context, but that's my opinion. Does he have the right to use scripture out of context? Oh, yeah. It happens all the time. As a matter of fact, Jesus spoke to the last days and that people would heap onto themselves teachers having itching ears, whatever that they would tell them, you know. But there's a large percentage of Americans that, you know, I was talking to a family member yesterday in the car, and a large percentage of Americans are just jolly old folk, you know, when it comes to their being entrusted with the latest iPhone and food stamps, but they're not working. You know, they don't visit the old lady down the street, generally speaking. I did see a story on Facebook where a young African-American was asked to walk an elderly woman home, and they've since become great friends. And that's America. That is America. But anyway, so look, we're going to discuss these things and more today on Radio Cantankerous. Remember to bookmark this program, this radio program, at blogtalkradio.com/Dakota Lone Star. A great way to listen to the radio program, or Radio Cantankerous, on the run, is by keying in our phone number and listening to us from your phone, simply by dialing 929-477-4090. I am your host, like I said earlier, Dakota Lone Star. You can like me on Facebook and also follow me on Twitter. I'm listed as Dakota Lone Star on Facebook. On Twitter, things are a little different. I go by D-O-C, that's Delta Oscar Charlie, _ Oscar Tango Alpha Lone Star. That's doc_Lone Star on Twitter. We also have a wonderful new site for you at www.40and28forever.com. It's fun. It's heated fun. It's factual. It's a good time. All right. So Barack Hussein Obama, without provocation, is no stranger to tossing scripture references into the ring. He's not. He's not a stranger to it. Like I said, he does it at least on a biennial basis if it suits the liberal democratic narrative that we must be our brother's keeper, which is interesting because Ayn Rand spoke to that in her first televised interview with, was it Chris Wallace? Anyway, and it was in 1959. Again, a complete picture on Ayn Rand's part of just brilliance beyond her years. All right, so look, In fact, your beloved number 44 has quoted bits and pieces of the Bible publicly. Since becoming president in 2009, he enjoys, despite the current schizophrenic silence of our critics, to invite himself to the party. And I want to talk about that a little bit, because the Freedom From Religion Foundation is, are they schizophrenic or do they work for the dark side? I would go with the latter, because number one, their silence when a half black junior senator, rock star, People magazine, Cosmo caring kind of guy and wife. Actually, his wife seems to have a little more, slightly more class. At least she was, she looked somewhat endearing when Ben Carson addressed the National Day of Prayer Breakfast a couple of years back, I believe. But she looked like kind of a nice person. Rock, on the other hand, had this, you know, anyway, he was kind of eating crow and looked like it was sour crow at that. Sauerkraut. Anyway. Woo-hoo, sauerkraut. Anyway, so that's kind of what we're looking at, folks. The schizophrenia behind the, you know, it's interesting because, look, I'm going to cover this really quick again. I'm going to re-quote that, re-quote myself, if you will. In fact, he has quoted bits and pieces of the Bible publicly on at least a biannual basis since becoming president in 2009. He enjoys, despite the current schizophrenic silence of our critics, to invite himself to the party, and not unlike the droves of quote-unquote American children, which have yet to lose in a dignified manner, cries foul once he's been spotted, or once he's spotted meaningfully contextual knowledge goers. All right, because you do have to chase after context in a contextual manner. Your leanings need to be contextual in nature to be truthful if you call yourself a scholar, right? All right, so that's kind of where we're at. I'm going to end the program early tonight. Again, I'm going to give you one more opportunity to phone in if you can hear me and would like to talk about any of these or any related issues leading up to this quagmire where Islam is getting a proverbial, you know, it looks as though they're receiving a potential proverbial hall pass that's going to go on and on and on and on in this new utopia, right, that we can create by the less belief that you can sit down to tea and crumpets with just anyone. You know, I would love it if you try. Go for it. You know, leave the United States. Don't do it here. Or don't do it here in some cases. Just make sure you have some Adidas Climacools on, if you will, because they form, well, they used to anyway, about 10 or 15 years ago. Climacools were part of your foot, and you could just knock out 40 meters in a second and a half, so to speak, right? Because those Climacools were just insane. It was just like wearing a sock, and it's just your feet tapping, you know, like a hummingbird's wings might tap. Anyway, so give me a call at 929-477, going once, going twice, 929-477-4090. And you got Dakota Lone Star here. All right, I'm going to take a 30-second break. And if I don't see the switchboard light up with a yay-sayer or a nay-sayer for all are welcome here, just like all are welcome at www.40and28forever.com. 30-second break. If I don't see the board light up, this show is over. God save America. Just in case. Oh.
for 13 seconds and I will be going off the air to go and hang out with my lovely bride.
All right, this is my program. I am Dakota Lone Star. You are going to have me now for another few seconds because if you reside in Northern Virginia, the Sterling, Ashburn, Fairfax area of the land, be on the lookout for the Burnmobile. That's right, the Burnmobile. I will post pictures tonight at www.40and28forever.com. The Burnmobile, it's fun. I just have to still equip the vehicle with a few more red streamers and so forth. And I got a couple of really fun new bumper stickers coming in. You can actually buy those for yourself as well, a copy for yourself. The bumper stickers are monstrous. There's a monstrosity in terms of their collective size. Individually, they're 17 inches, 3.75 inches by 17 inches at 40and28forever.com. I am Dakota Lone Star. God save America. God save Western civilization. God protect our exhaustible funds for hardworking Americans of every persuasion and or color. All right, I'll be back with you hopefully in a couple of days. I'm going to go rest my voice now because my throat is mildly hurting a little bit. I am Dakota Lone Star. God save America.